podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Stretford Paddock podcast. My name is Joe. Today I'm joined by Jay Motti and James Young as well. We're talking about next managers, who is going to be Manchester United's manager in the summer. We also talk a bit about politics and it gets a bit weird. James talking about cycle routes in Manchester. Check it out. Today's show is brought to you by Surfshark VPN. Now, more than ever, our internet reliance is rapidly increasing. We stream our favourite shows, keep in touch with loved ones, and even watch podcasts like this one. See, makes sense, it's linked into the podcast. We prefer to think our information is safe, but as our online footprint increases, so does our need for proper security. That's where Surfshark VPN comes in. They protect your information by encrypting all the data you send through the internet, keeping anyone unwanted from seeing it. Another great reason to use a VPN is because the content from streaming services can be restricted based on what country you're in. So that could be Netflix, Amazon Prime, even some of the highlights on Twitter. You click on it, not available in your country. Well, Surfshark helps you out with that by simply changing your location. Also, you go abroad, you want to keep watching iPlayer, you want to keep watching British stuff, you can do. Change your location back to where you've left and you can keep watching all of that. Right now, Surfshark has an amazing offer on. By clicking the link in the description, using the code Paddock, sit there, look, Paddock, like Stretford Paddock, that's why we use the word Paddock, Paddock, you'll get 83% off, which means for something like a couple of quid a month, you're getting fully protected. 83% off, that's basically all of it off. 83% plus you'll get 3 months for free, and Surfshark offers a 30-day money-back guarantee. Use the link in the description, use code Paddock for 83% off, 3 months free, and 30-day money-back guarantee. Don't get better than that.
Jay of Stretford Paddock, this is the Paddock Podcast, and I'm joined by two of my favourite co-hosts, because not guests, the co-hosts, we're in this together. Mr. Joe Smith.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. I'm already lamenting the fact you're not going to be here all week.
I know.
Because you're giving away, aren't you, for a few days, which is unheard of on this channel.
I know.
This is literally like the Joe Smith channel, because you're on every day.
Holiday.
And I'm getting, you know, I'm getting the sort
it's
of
international break.
Penalty shootout nerves at the prospect of Joe not being
stand outside until I get back.
I can't cope. And also, Mr. James Young, how are we doing?
Never been happier.
Is that true?
You look it as well. You look over the moon. Yeah. Ecstatic. How have you been?
Whereabouts are you off, Jack?
Oh, sorry, go on then.
Rome,
The City of Angels, as they call it.
Yes.
It's a good time to go now because it's less touristy.
Italy.
Less touristy, I hate tourists.
Mm. Yeah.
That's why I'm going to Rome as an English person. That'd be great. Hope there's no tourists there.
Do you know what? This is what annoys me, right? Because you could go to Rome and you could decide to go and visit a football.
Should roam around, as they say.
Stop him. Stop him.
I like it. You can visit a football stadium.
Yeah.
And you might ask directions. Yeah? You might go, I'm going to go and watch, you know, Lazio or whatever.
Mm. Well, if you're not a massive racist, but yeah.
Yeah, all right.
You can still watch them.
Yeah.
Just because you watch a Nazi documentary doesn't make you part of the, you know, SS.
So you go, excuse me, can you help me, tell me the way to the ground? Mm. And people might go, yeah, no worries, it's that way. But when you see people around Manchester, tourists asking way at Old Trafford, people can be dead moody with him.
Yeah.
Do you know, like, oh, look at the state of this. And I think, well, have you never been abroad and gone to a football stadium?
Yeah, like, exactly. And they probably speak the language better than we do going there.
Like, what is the issue with someone wanting to go and visit Old Trafford whilst they're in Manchester? It's not even a game on today. Oh, yes, because you only go to a football stadium when there's a game on.
Yeah.
It just really annoys me because I think, like, I've done that loads of times. Yeah. You go away, you think, oh, go and check out the stadium.
We're going to go to the Colosseum for, there's no gladiators there. the next one's not for another minus 2,000 years. Like, what are you on about? I want to go see it.
I sent it the wrong way.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, what has that achieved other than making you look like the knobhead that you are? Sorry.
Like, I feel like Jay's been pointed the wrong way to Old Trafford.
No, I remember having a Rami mate who did it once and he thought he was dead clever. I was just like, you're just a muppet. Like, that wasn't funny.
You're just being a bit of a knob.
Yeah. And I mean, end up rowing and arguing. I had to shout him back and tell him the real way.
Oh, really?
It's like, my mum was in Manchester for the first time on the weekend for like 14 or 15 years or whatever. And I was telling her how much it's like changed in that. And literally 5 minutes of her arriving, someone came, some smackhead went, oh, have you got any weed? And she said no. And he called her like a racist. And it's like, oh, welcome back.
See, hey,
that's what you want from a destination holiday.
Exactly.
Ask for some weed
authentic
and be called a racist.
Yes.
Thank you.
We are going to be talking about a host of topics, including the managerial race, if you can call it that, on the candidates who are likely or looking likely to succeed. Ralph Ragnick, there's a few names that keep getting bandied about, so we'll get into all that. I mean, you can see some of them, I think behind me. Go on.
Do you know what I'd absolutely love if we did this like an election? where it's like we've got it down to Ten Hag. We do the sort of the preliminary
primaries.
We do the primaries. Yeah. So that's where you get rid of your Enriquez, your Zidane's, maybe your Ancelotti's. Once we've got it down to Ten Hag and Pochettino. Yeah. TV debates. Mm. But we know you both want it. Yeah. You're probably going to get sacked by PSG. Yeah. You're leaving Ajax by all accounts. Let's get them both on telly. Get Steven Housen asking him the real questions. Mm. That's what I want to know. You know, are you a fraud? Questions like all these
Steven Housen telling them where they've gone wrong in a managerial career.
How would you beat Moston Brooks' low block?
Exactly. That's what that'll be. Steven Housen shouting at him. How him and Fabrice Muamba have taken Stretford Paddock FC to the summit of their league.
Which one of you two is more likely to manage Stretford Paddock FC on an interim basis? Right. You're not getting the job then, Maurizio. F off.
So I'm thinking like Luis Enrique is like Bernie Sanders here. He's too good for us. Or, you know, he's been defeated in the primaries.
Right.
You
know,
he doesn't really have the sort of. The actual popularity to get elected, even though he's really good. Yeah. And then you've got other people in there, like your joke candidates, like Phil Neville. He's been like ruined before the start. It's just out.
Who's Pochettino? I think he's Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
You reckon?
Very much a known quantity. Yeah. Been around for years.
Part of the firm.
Not particularly inspiring, but you just feel as like it's inevitable.
Yeah.
But
there's
maybe
a feeling,
not.
Yeah. Or could it all go
and
wrong?
Who's Ten Hag?
Ten Hag would be like.
He
Trump.
Wouldn't be Biden.
Trump. I think he'd be more like Obama.
Yeah.
Like a few years ago, Obama, wasn't really known.
Yeah. Hope. Yeah. There is hope with
and
Ten
he came
Hag.
Onto the stage, and all of a sudden, everyone's like, who's this guy? Mm. This guy's ideal.
Yeah. Wow, look at his track record. Yeah. He hasn't put a foot wrong.
Yeah, everyone loves him. And it's like, actually, okay, then we don't know a lot about him, do we? But yeah, I think that's how it goes down. So we'll be getting into that. We'll also be looking at, we've signed someone.
Good.
A youngster. I spoke about this morning in the news. We'll talk about a little bit about that as well. And Gary Neville has been firing shots at players.
Outside hotel football on the rooftop.
He's got his rifle out.
Sniper.
Doing what he likes to do best. Well, I don't say he does best, but he likes to have a go at players and people when they're not sort of staggering down the road, sobbing hysterically after a United loss.
It's not like the front cover of Platoon.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to know. Every Man United player should be permanently on their knees, weeping to the gods.
I went to the shop the other day. So Eric Bailly buying a pint of milk after we'd drawn with Watford.
I slapped out of his hand and said, no tea for you, Eric!
Get
you'll
out.
Have water and gruel until the tile is lifted again! Gary Neville has spoken! Gee, how dare he have a Freddo on his walk home from the shop?
Game
shame gone. On you!
That's why the club's in the doldrums. Yeah. This is what I'm talking about. You never got that in my day.
No.
If we lost the game, we didn't eat for a month.
Exactly. And that was just, right.
Just taking pops at people on the stadium tour walking past the hotel. You don't understand the United way. Exactly. You weren't here in 1994.
Ethos! It's the ethos!
Well, you in the youth job semi-final in 1992.
Exactly. Yeah, he was there in the trenches. Yeah. So
to be fair, Gary Neville has done a lot of good things for Man United, so we should listen to what he says, probably. Yeah.
He should, but he's not beyond
agree with
the
it.
Reproach.
No.
So you can disagree with him, so we'll talk
very
about
nice,
that.
A nice portfolio of real estate as well as around Manchester that he's acquired.
Interesting.
Yes.
I like I say acquired, like it was the Swiss getting Nazi gold. Like, I think he bought it.
Yeah.
I don't think it was like, who's the owner of that real estate recently been sent away for war crimes? I'll take
but
that.
It's,
I don't think that's happened.
It's property, isn't it? So technically, who owns property?
God.
Yeah.
Next.
Exactly.
Next question. Easy.
He's done well for a property magnet to paint himself as a socialist with no socialist credentials really whatsoever, other than kind of organising a strike once that didn't really happen.
And turn Moss as well, which is not exactly a very nice idea.
Well, there you go, you see. So,
and if that isn't damning, I don't know what is.
There's
not exactly a very
from.
Nice idea, James Young, 2022.
Also, we've been linked with someone else to join the backroom staff. Well, two more people, because the answer to our problems is more people in the backroom.
Yeah.
That is where we're going wrong. We haven't got enough of them.
Yeah.
So there's another kid called Andy O'Boyle. I've never heard of him.
That's
Paris
a made-up name.
Andy O'Boyle.
Andy O'Boyle. Honestly, they're just like, you know,
I read it here on a piece of paper
you know
on the screen.
Too far into the future on like Football Manager or FIFA, and it just like generates random people. That's basically what United are doing now.
Yeah, definitely.
Andy O'Boyle. Well, according to this newspaper, I mean, I've never heard of him, but he's in the running to be assistant to the regional manager. Assistant to the director of football.
Any relation to Pete? Or
I don't think so. I mean, I don't know. He may be a fictional character. We will find out.
Right,
we're going to get into all that. Right. first of all, let's have some comments, eh? Tom Marshall says, doesn't matter who we bring in, Marshall Glazers even, still own us. With that in mind, I want Ten Hag, UTFP, Glazers out.
Don't matter who we bring in, as long as we bring in Ten Hag, which is what I want.
Yep.
Don't matter anyway, but if it did, that's who I want.
If it did.
Peter Kelly says, welcome back to Twitter, Jay. Thank you, Peter. It was a long 2 hours.
Oh, yeah, you were suspended, weren't you?
Yes, I was. Copyright infringement.
A daddy long legs coming down on a string of
copyright infringement, and I had to, you know, send a few strongly worded, not strongly worded emails, a few begging messages to people.
Did you? Yeah. Copyright infringement, what did you do? You uploaded a full series of On the Buses
did
again,
you watch
didn't
you? Yes.
Have you seen this? It's wicked.
Have you ever seen Lawrence of Arabia? Yeah, well, now exactly. You're going to watch it.
Laurel and Hardy.
In these series of tweets.
Yeah.
But no, I did a video of Lacazette acting like an ad man and getting pushed over by someone in the game against Villa. And obviously, I knew when I did it, I thought I shouldn't be doing this. BT in it, they're always a bit funny. And then
but couldn't you have done the thing, you know, when you copied
the
tweet?
Yeah, I should have done. Yeah. I got lazy because I was in the middle of summer and it was my own fault. So yeah, thanks for all your support during what sloppy. Was a very difficult time.
You thought you were untouchable, didn't you, Jay?
I did. Like, I thought
like
I was
Mr. Big of some sort Teflon of Twitter gang.
Yeah, I thought I was. What's that guy? He was a guy, John Gotti. I thought it was like him.
Yeah.
Or Boris Johnson.
Like Jim Falton, and just posts the same joke over and over again and gets the same likes and retweets.
Do you know what I mean?
Like his average book about politics.
Interesting. It's Dig, well, an actual person that's probably, you know, listening.
Nash Villa, who's been a member of the first team for 10 months, says, I'd like to watch Joe do a filibuster speech in US Congress in which he goes over a list of 800 odd right backs and why Man United shouldn't buy them. Yeah. That's a great idea. If you had to filibuster something, what speech would you give? What would you talk about?
I don't know, but what I will say is I would do it in the style of Just a Minute as well, where I'm not allowed to repeat myself. Mm. No repetition, no, what's it? You can't pause, you can't repeat yourself and any of that. So I not
that's
only
quite
would I do
difficult.
15 hours, I wouldn't say the same word twice.
That'd be erming as well.
And I wouldn't pause or but. Absolutely
wow.
not at all.
You are giving yourself a massive task. If you had to do a filibuster speech, if you had to speak for hours just to waste time in Congress.
It's probably about the Walker's Flavour Cup of 2009 and how Bill's Breakfast won it despite it not being the best flavour. This is why we can't have democracy, because what happens
sorry.
Is...
We can't have democracy.
can't have,
this is know. James's run to be the leader, the grand leader of Stretford Paddock. There shall be no democracy.
We're not having democracy anymore. We tried that experiment and it failed.
We tried that experiment for the last 2,000 years and we didn't like it.
Look where it got us.
Yeah, the Greeks. Sick of them. Romans, out of here.
We can't have nice things.
Yeah, Ottoman Empire. See you later.
So what you're advocating is just the totalitarian regime.
Well, I mean, as
as the great Mussolini once said.
That's one way of putting it.
As Superhands famously said.
Right. No, go on, I like this.
People
go on.
Like we'll find them on the beaches.
people like Coldplay and voted for the Nazis. So.
Can't trust people. Yeah. That's very true.
I met the man on the street and he's a massive C word, as I think Johnny Rotten said.
See?
Mm. Well, you can't argue with that. Mm. People getting right quite serious about our political analogies when we were talking about no, not that, about the managers. You know, some people not happy with Barack Obama. fair enough.
Yeah, at least Ten Hag can't deport loads of people from England.
Or drone strikes.
Anyway, let's move on.
See what I mean? Yeah. We tried to do something and we just it's always bad to get with ease on it as well. Because he just encourages me.
What a strike! Right, oh my God. On we go.
Please.
Next topic.
Can we stop with the words? right. Come on, people. Let's get it together. Yeah. We're talking about managers.
Manchester United Christmas bowling event is a bit different this year.
Stop it.
This is without Macca and Alisson. You two met with the same pair of hands. Right, let's move on. Or let's carry on talking about the subject we're meant to be talking about. The next United manager, who do you want and why?
Ten Hag seems to be the most exciting, doesn't he? He's the one with, like we said before, the Obama analogy, if you were to allow that to, you know,
without
flourish.
At the time, should we say, before we know what he was going to get up to.
Yeah, in 2008, he was a fresh face. He brought with him no baggage, no, like, look what he's been doing for the last 30 years.
A bit like Tony Blair.
In 97, not
in
a bad shout out.
Yeah. New Labour.
Yeah.
That kind of, like, we're doing things a bit differently. Mm. Whereas Poch has that... It just has that, we know what you are.
Yeah, he's Keir Starmer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh,
yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
We know what he is. He's okay. He's a decent manager. He's managed some good players, good teams, and done all right with all of them. He's never done anything where you go, wow, I can't believe he did that. And I know that Ten Hag has, you know, if he'd maybe won the Champions League with Ajax, you could really put him in that category with, you know, Jose at Porto and say he's done something incredible. But what he's done is he's taken Ajax from being obviously one of the most, you know, famous and richest teams in the Netherlands, but he's just made them a machine again, where they lose their players because they are still in the fifth richest league in Europe. I think it's the fifth richest. They lose their players to richer teams and they replace them, and the system continues and the style continues, and they have pieces that slot into positions rather than let's build everything around one player. Oh no, he's shit. Oh no, he's left. Oh no, he's holding us to ransom over his contract. We can't do that anymore. He has systems and structures that players fit into, like all of the top teams do these days. Look at City. They've got a rotational cast of about 16, 17 players that play any given week, and they all do basically the same job as the rest of them when they switch in and out. Look at someone like Mahrez, not even guaranteed to start every week, and yet when he does, can easily be their best player on a day. United 100%. At the minute, we've got, you know, about six players that are in form, and everyone else is trying to do their own thing. I think Ten Hag comes in and he brings a structure and a style that not only he can bring, but also that he sticks to and that he has to stick to. United needs to establish a style as a club and bring in managers that fit that style, and then that manager brings in players that fits that style as well. It needs to be from the top down, and I think Ten Hag's the best chance we've got.
Well, you saw how comfortable it was for City on the weekend against Southampton. Even when it was 1-1, it was like, well, we've got like three or four other players we can just bring on here, and they ended up, it was like 4-1 in the end. United just don't have that, and no. I don't think they're going to unless the, like you're saying, the structure's in place for that to happen.
Are you Ten Hag? Is he your choice as well? Yeah, he seems to be the most popular from people I've spoken to.
I've kind of been saying this, that whoever United bring in, I just think the same issues are going to still be there. So it's almost, I don't want to say it doesn't matter, but ultimately, if Richard Arnold's the same as Edward, which I hope he isn't, and hopefully he's trying to sort things out, then I'm not really sure what's going to happen, because if he does try and rebuild the team, he'll get to 2 or 3 years down the line where he won't be able to sign the players that he wants to. There'll be other situations and politics going on, and he'll finish second or third, maybe win one trophy, but then the whole thing will just reset itself again, because I just don't think, unless there's major changes at the club, that anyone that's going to come in is just going to keep on facing the same issues.
What do you think, Jay? Who do you want, and do you think they can be successful?
I want Ten Hag, and I've been saying this for a little while. I don't know a lot about him. I know his record. I think when I was looking into it, because I made the assumption myself, you just go, oh, Ajax, yeah, you win the league every year and all that, but you don't, do you? And they didn't until he got there. Mm. I think they had a few years, didn't they, without winning it?
Well,
was it?
PSV had Depay and a couple of players like that in that team before he came in. So.
And they went, I think, 4 years without winning it, then he kept winning it, and I think they missed out 1 year because of COVID, but he's won it. And did the double as well a couple of times. Like you say, he got to the Champions League semi-final. All right, you make your own luck, but very unlucky there. Was flying in the group stages this year, winning the Champions League. And then
won every game, didn't
he? Yeah, and then it's just sort of, it went, the wheels came off against Benfica.
Benfica are not a bad team.
No, I mean, that's not a criticism. You know, he's raised the bar there for them now anywhere. Mm-hmm. You know, if they don't win the league and they don't do well in Europe, people are going, well, what's gone wrong there? Yeah. Whereas when he got there, they weren't winning the league. So he rebuilt that team, which impresses me. You're losing the likes of De Jong, you're losing Van der Beek, you're losing Erdelitz, you're losing Ziyech, and then you're rebuilding again very quickly and still going and still doing that, because whoever comes in has a rebuilding job to do. And it's like, I don't like Ancelotti is the most successful candidate available. He's won the lot. He's won it on all different levels. He's won it at different countries. He's won three Champions Leagues. It's obviously, you know, you can't.
He's one of the best managers ever, isn't he?
You can't scoff at his record. It's phenomenal. It really is. But you're thinking, okay, and it sounds daft because, you know, he's doing well at Real Madrid, but is there a little bit of, it's just more short-termism, it's more a manager who's not quite at the peak of his powers.
Van Gaal had that, and Mourinho had that as well. United have tried that before, and I think the thing is, especially with United, is that, you know, managers at Real Madrid will rarely stay longer for 3 or 4 seasons before Perez has enough of them, and I think the issue is at United, they can't have a manager like Ancelotti that'll come in like Mourinho will. Yeah, he might win stuff, but there'll still be another 3 or 4 years after that the mess will have to be picked up back up again, and it'll just take longer.
On that point then,
all
of the managers that were brought in to be more long-term, maybe other than Van Gaal winning the FA Cup, have won nothing at United since Fergie left. So Moyes was set to be long-term, won nothing. Van Gaal was set to be long-term. Yes, he won the FA Cup, so fair enough. Ole was set to be long-term, won nothing. The only real manager that's won multiple trophies is Jose. Are we not better, and I don't agree with this, but do you think there's a case to be made that getting someone more short-term, where we actually might win a trophy here or there, is better than, you know, is the only way to win things under the Glazers? Do you think we can be a long-term vision team and be successful with it?
I've thought in the past that maybe being short-term isn't that bad a deal, because we've sort of become that anyway, as you said that. I just feel like now we're so far behind. It reminds me a little bit of Klopp at Liverpool, where you might need someone to come in and go, look, this ain't a quick fix. This isn't Jose coming in, buying a load of players, and you're going to win some trophies. you're so far behind the likes of Chelsea, City and Liverpool, it's going to take a few seasons and he can do that. And that's what my question isn't whether he can do it or the board. A lot of it is the fans, and I include myself in this. If two seasons in we're sat in fifth, are people going to go, okay, just give him a bit another year, you know, we can see what he's trying to do? Or are people going to go, no, we're not in the Champions League, it's been a disaster, get rid of him? Because there will be a reaction, and fans, you know, we're in that grey area. A lot of us are old enough to remember Sir Alex and all the riches we had, and we're still a club that's got money and stuff. So we expect success, but we're nowhere near where we used to be in short term. Well, last sort of 9 years, we've not really been in the title race, other than, you know, since we won it, we've not really been in the title race. I know we finished second, but were we ever really in a title race in those two seasons when we finished second?
Well, not particularly.
Not really. So it feels a bit odd. Personally, I would give Ten Hag time. I just don't know if everyone else will, and that's not a criticism of fans, because I get it. I just feel like that's the big question, is can we be patient with him?
And I agree. That's a big problem. But could we not argue that we didn't give Ollie time? When sustained period of bad results, and obviously we had that one at the end of the first season, but that was, you know, so close to what was an incredible period of results. The first real, we might not finish top four properly set of results under Ole, we got rid of him. I know losing 5-0 to Liverpool is hard to come back from, but what if that happens under Ten Hag?
I think there wasn't, you know what, you're right. I think the problem with Ole was the nature of those results. I think losing to Liverpool at home isn't the end of the world. It's horrible, but it's happened before. It's happened under Fergie. So, you know, that to get battered, be losing 4-0 at half time is unreal. So the way we lost to Watford, who were probably going to get relegated, was abysmal. The fact that City turn up and just treat it like a training game, it's horrible. And as a fan, I loved Ole for a multitude of reasons, but you stood there and against Liverpool, I was thinking, this isn't working.
It was the way in which it capitulated as well, because United have lost heavily to Liverpool before under Fergie and to City, but I remember when they lost to Liverpool, I think it was 3-4-1 in 2009, they still won the title that season.
Yeah, you're right.
And under Fergie, what was it, 4-5-1 6-1 against City at home.
Yeah.
But before that as well, one of Fergie's earlier seasons, I think City beat United, was it 4-5-1?
5-1 at Main Road, but the funny thing with that is, the 5-1 at Main Road, he was under pressure. Fergie was under serious pressure, but he won the FA Cup that year to buy him some time.
Yeah. My big worry is most United fans, or most United fans that are in and around our age, even up to the age of sort of 40, 50, don't really have a great memory of pre-Fergie days.
Yeah.
And we're so used to the lows being so much higher than everyone else's lows. Like, the worst it got under Fergie, you know, since we won the league, was finishing third.
Yeah.
Like, are we really prepared to take, we finished second, we finished seventh, we finished fourth, we finished third, we finished first? Are we prepared for that trajectory?
I'm kind of used to it now, though.
But are you?
Yeah, because I haven't seen that. I've seen United win, from my memory, two league titles. Yeah. So the Atletico game was genuinely the first knockout game in the Champions League I've been to with United. Because it's been so crap the past five or six years,
but maybe
really.
If the average age of fans at the game was, how old are you, 20?
Yeah, 19.
19.
Yeah.
If the average age of fans at the game was 19, you know, maybe that would be the perception. But the average, what is it? Is it late 40s, isn't it? In the 50s, I think the average age of a Premier League fan. So they do expect that. And that's my worry, like you said, the fans, is can we finish, can we have a fully regressing season where it's actually got worse for a year and still stick with the manager? And does a few titles in the Dutch league keep enough money in the bank to ride that storm? I don't know if it does.
Because people forget this. Klopp was under a bit of pressure at one point.
Yeah.
I remember the time when we drew 0-0 with Jose at Anfield. I think we'd have won that game. Might have been a different story in terms of the pressure on it.
But again,
they had one win in 9 games or something going into that game. They'd lost the League Cup final, lost the Europa League final. So it wasn't like he had much in the bank as a Liverpool manager to go, look, this is what I'm doing. I still think he was quite popular in his attitude and his persona. And
I think that's
that carried him a little bit.
And everyone under 40doesn't really remember Liverpool being successful at that time.
And also, now, he then went to the Champions League
final. If you're 20,
final,
you remember league titles.
You know, the rest was history for him. And I feel like, you know, with Ten Hag, sometimes it's just that thing of keeping yourself going. That I think you always said it, Joe, and I think you have as well. You were there. If you'd have won in Gdansk, maybe gets a little bit more time.
That's when it turned. A lot of the people that I knew that were there were like, that's it.
Because, you know, Fergie won the FA Cup and then didn't have it all his own way the next season. I think we finished sixth, but we won the Cup Winners' Cup. But it's like, if you've got a trophy, Arteta won a trophy at Arsenal, yep, and he buys himself a bit of patience when he finishes eighth.
Yep.
So we go, he's won silverware. He's, give him a little bit of time. He's a, you know, for them, he's a club legend. And all this, where Ollie didn't have that. He had more questions.
I think it's because of who it was against as well. I know they beat Juventus and they got to the quarterfinals of the Champions League, but if it was a bigger team, maybe like a Sevilla or an Inter or someone like that, then there could have been a bit more respect. But I think the way that Villarreal were portrayed a lot in the media, where they were these plucky team from Valencia that didn't really know why they were in the final, and it was like almost expected that United were going to win. I mean, you know, I had stuff lined up and people were saying to me, well, can you send videos in of United winning the trophy? Because it was just expected that it was going to happen. And when they
didn't... Shades of 2018 in the FA Cup final. Yeah. Mm. I know it was Chelsea, but everyone was like, oh, we'll do this. Mm. Look at how many points we finished above them, no less. You know what I mean? And it was like...
You saw in BT's coverage after the game, it was like, well, shit, what are we going to do now? Like,
now what? This wasn't meant to happen.
Abhinav Verma in the chat says, Carlo would only raise his eyebrows in the debate. Very good. Callum Shahidi says, we should have kept Ollie. We made real progress under him. A cup final that was lost on the last kick of the season and back-to-back top four finishes. Again, I just feel it's like the nature of these losses this season. Mm. It wasn't the fact that we lost to these games. It was the way we were losing. It looked like he'd lost everyone.
The Watford game especially.
I wasn't saying we should have kept him. I was saying
it's a fair question.
If a similar thing happens under a manager that we fundamentally have more faith in,
yep,
will that faith be enough to keep him through the hard times?
Just on the sort of managerial thing and the backroom staff. There's this story that's doing the rounds about a lad called Andy O'Boyle. I mentioned him earlier. And this, the news is that United, ex-Liverpool coach, you've already lost me, you've lost the room, Andy O'Boyle for their new deputy director of football role with the Red Devils, hoping he can help John Murtagh with the mammoth task of returning the club to its former glory. So we're looking for a deputy director of football.
Deputy director of football.
I don't know anything about this guy, Andy O'Boyle, other than the fact that he's an ex-Liverpool coach. It seems like, you know, there's lots of rumours. Is it the lad from Monaco who's just been sacked?
Paul Mitchell.
Yeah. And there's talk of maybe him coming in as some sort of role. Mm. We've already got John Murtagh there. You've got Darren Fletcher there. Ralph Ragnick's going to become a consultant. Mm. The new manager, whoever that may be, is probably going to bring in at least one of his own coaches. Do you know what I mean? Is it not a danger here? We're going to have more people behind the scenes than actually on the pitch for us, and that's not healthy.
Well, we went from, for the longest time, basically having Ed Woodward doing everything, and then like Matt Judge tickling a few bollocks during transfer negotiations, to now we've got like a full like match attack sticker book full of, which one is he? He's on page 18. He's in the subcategory, you know, directors of sport or whatever it's going to be.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know, we're getting a bit sort of too many directors of football spoil the broth.
It's like, do you remember when United claimed they had like 200 scouts or whatever it was?
Yeah.
It's a similar sort of thing. Like,
I mean, it does get like, a little bit
disconcerting. You know when United signed Wan-Bissaka and Woodward was like, we've been through 200 fullbacks.
800?
Yeah, 800. And this is the best one.
Yeah. Like the most obvious one that everyone said you should get.
Yeah.
You've gone for 800 to get to the point where you're spending 50 million quid on the one that was literally a man of the match against us a year ago.
Just because, you know, it's obvious doesn't mean we haven't done our research.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do wonder about all that, because at some point you think it's just becoming this big sort of bloated operation where we're just, you know, dishing out responsibility. The more people that are in there, the more people that need to be good at this job.
Yeah.
And already I don't know how many are good at it. And now we're expecting 8 people to be really good at their job.
I would have loved to be mates Ed Woodward at uni.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That another thing that's, you know, jobs for the boys and all that? I don't know. Santa Notch says, we should have lost to Celta Vigo, a team worse than Villarreal under Jose. Only did as well as we did because Zlatan had still finished a pathetic 6. I remember that. Mm. DB Cooper says, I'm down with Paul Mitchell as long as we don't have to get Poch. Mm. Sean says, Joe's shirt looks like wallpaper from a 70s hotel in Missouri. Very specific, isn't it?
Mm. Which hotel, mate?
Yes, you can let us know the hotel. And also, the 70s is very broad. That's a 10-year sort of...
The 1970s.
You know. Yeah, right, okay. Yeah.
Where was it from?
Thanks.
It was from the 1970s hotel in Missouri.
Yeah.
Do hit like... I mean, the fact is, I don't think any of us... I mean, I've just looked on his LinkedIn. He doesn't tell me anything. Right. He's head of elite performance in the Premier League from 2017.
But in my head, right? Head of elite performance... You're the manager of the team then, aren't you?
Yeah.
Like, the person that is the head of the highest end performance in a football club
He's had elite so performance not. In the Premier League. He was at Liverpool for 5 years. Exactly. For 5 years, 10 months. And he kind of left when the going got good, to be fair to him. Like, I don't know.
Coincidence?
Like, I don't know. Like, he's left just before they started winning things.
Yeah. Sold him and bought loads of inhalers. That's what they did.
It's exactly.
The Eric Ramsey club.
They swapped him for Mo Salah. He was the under-21 physical performance coach.
The word performance is so heavily littered throughout this man's CV. You'd assume he had a job by now, wouldn't you?
He was head of sports science at Coventry City Football Club. He waited on tables at Witherspoon's he didn't really.
James, leave it. Witherspoon's, I've been there.
And he's got
they do a great shepherd's
2 weeks experience at his local newspaper.
Good lad.
So you can understand why his CV has caught the attention of Manchester United.
It's very Red Bull, isn't it? Yeah. Performance. Ralph Ragnick, that whole operation that he had a lot of scouts, a lot of analysis, all those sort of people. A lot of backroom staff, sort of Moneyball type things.
Yeah.
I mean, it does feel a little bit like, what are all these people doing? And is this helping us? And who are these people? Are they qualified? And I just feel like, it's just worrying. I think everything at United at the minute is worrying. I'll just feel a lot better when we know who the next manager is going to be. I mean, it looks like Ten Hag is the favourite, but you don't know that, and it wouldn't surprise me if it was a Pochettino, because like you said earlier, Joe, he has been linked with us, and if it is he bringing in his own people on? Is Andy O'Boyle and Paul Mitchell and all these other people being linked with it still going to come in? Is Ralph Ragnick going to have much of a say on what's going on?
What does Peggy Mitchell have to say about all this?
Yeah. Exactly. Do you know what I mean?
Paul Mitchell's mum.
Yeah.
Or Dimitri, the former United Academy player.
Ah, yes. Mm. Yeah, Dimitri Mitchell and Grant Mitchell, of course, is the obvious one, isn't it?
Peggy's. Paul. Mm. Phil Mitchell.
Phil Mitchell.
Billy Mitchell.
Exactly.
Sean. No, it's the person.
Sean Mitchell.
Sean Mitchell.
Yeah, Google Sean Mitchell.
Don't Google Sean Mitchell. Don't let him tell you what to do,
Jake. I'm not going to. Should we move on to something?
Sean Mitchell, just someone you went to school with.
Something happier than the disarray behind the scenes. And that's, we signed a young lad called Toby Collier from Brighton. 3.5-year deal, running to the summer of 2025. I've got a few sort of stats about him here. He's a defensive midfielder, has played at centre-back. He's captained England at under-16 and under-17s level. Only played once this season, for Brighton under-18s. Impressed on a trial at Carrington last month. Caught the Ivy Knight scouts playing in a friendly against Huddersfield Town.
Fucking did.
Seems like, it's a bit of a tapping, really, isn't it, in the case of you buying a young lad, and if it doesn't work out, you've not exactly
United can sign young players, and they can't play a game for United, and then they can just sell them on for 4 or 5 times the price, basically. So
it's kind of the MO for a lot of clubs, isn't it, if you're looking at it.
It's a bit of a sort of twisted system when you look at it like that. It's like you take these people that are children, basically, like 14, 15, have them for like 4 years, and then they never even play for you, and you just sell them for like 3 million.
Just NFTs, isn't it?
Basically.
Non-footballing teenagers.
There's a quote from Ralph Ragnick that sort of ties into this. He said about, he's talking about transfer strategy. He said, it's about having a clear transfer strategy and signing players who fit into the system. And that's what both clubs, talking about City and Liverpool, have been doing in the last 5, 6 years. I look at the transfer policy and their transfer success, they haven't had many players who people would say that wasn't the right signing. Both clubs, have been pretty successful. And this is where Manchester United have to go again. Do you feel like we need a change in transfer strategy? Because we've been very much short-term, haven't we, really? I mean, Jadon Sancho, he's a bit younger, but some of the signings we've made have purely been for, like, 1 or 2 seasons.
Are we sticking with the political statement? You sort of remind me of, like, you know when, Labour went more towards the centre and they sort of got loads of focus groups to sort of get really mundane stuff? It's like, it's almost like on the manifesto, it's like, I will bring a change in transfer strategy and make sure that we don't sign like players
anymore. I didn't see Cavani's, Regalos. Yeah. I think that there seemed to be a bit of a shift in transfer strategy under Ole. Mm.
Yeah.
And then Ronaldo coming in made me go, I don't know what's going on anymore. And not because I think we shouldn't have signed Ronaldo, but just because it didn't make sense alongside who else we'd signed. Like, whether you think they're a good or bad signing or not, Maguire, Wan-Bissaka, Sancho, Varane, Bruno, Dan James, Diallo, Pellistri, they all they're all under 28 at the point of purchase. A lot of them are English, Premier League proven in a lot of instances. That makes sense. But then you go and get world superstar Cavani, world superstar Ronaldo. I don't quite get that. Like 35, 36 year olds, I don't know what the target is here, or what the aim is here. So I don't know what the strategy is, and maybe we do need something that's more coherent.
The Igalo one.
Yeah, the Igalo one was another one.
I found that like quite funny, though, to be fair.
I mean, I know, but
that's what you want from a transfer. Yeah, yeah. You want humour, Jay.
I know, because in the morning we're in for Josh King, and I was like, why? And then in the evening, he got Odi Ighalo knocking on his director's door saying, please let me go to Manchester United. And it's just like, okay, we sort of bought into Ighalo.
Sue Cook's pulled out.
Yeah, Sue Cook's pulled out. Then what a leave. Unbelievable. It's like we all bought into Ighalo because he wears United pyjamas and he takes pictures of trees and he's a nice guy. And he scored a couple of good goals as well.
Have you seen his Instagram stories?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah. Like, he's likeable.
Like, he literally posts like maybe like 12 or 13 stories a day in Saudi Arabia.
My point is, it's all, it's nice and all that, but is he a player that's going to get you, help you win trophies? No. And when we needed him in the semi-final, it's not his fault, but he wasn't up to it. Mm. Do you know what I mean? And it's like, that's not a coherent policy of, oh, who can we get at half 11 on transfer deadline day? My agent knows Odi Ighalo, who played for Watford 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Let's get him.
And he's only on 300.
And he's a United fan. What's that got to do with anything? Mm. Do you know what I mean? Like, that, it didn't really help us in what we needed.
At least he'll try, unlike half of the players we've got.
But exactly, the bar's so low. And I'm not going to dig at Ighalo, because like I said, I did like him, but it just shows there was a lack of planning. Mm. Do you know what I mean? This isn't like Fergie being on the phone to Howard Wilkinson or whoever and going, oh, let me have Eric. This is like, literally, we've run out of options here and we've got no one else we can get. Mm. Let's quickly get someone.
Someone who scored at least 5 goals in the Premier League. We'll get them because we're desperate.
You know, even
2 seasons ago.
Even Cavani. And, you know, Cavani sort of, again, won us over with his performances and his Colero thing. I know it's gone a bit south this season, but he was a free agent who no one really was coming in for because of his wages and his injury record. And it's like we waited and waited and we get him again at the 11th hour. And then you sort of sat in a season later going, we're sure. Mm. We're sure. And I know we've had certain issues that you couldn't predict, but it's like we almost leave ourselves in this situation by a lack of planning where other clubs don't do that. You just mentioned City there. I was watching a bit of the City game yesterday. Like you say, you know, they start with Jesus and Sterling, two players who've got loads of goals for him. Mm. Sterling obviously gets a goal and you know, his record over the last 4 or 5 years is ridiculous. Jesus, I think his record in goals and assists is like every other game he gets either a goal or assists. Around that, you know, he's not the greatest, but he's productive. Mm. And they bring on Foden and Mahrez. You know, Mahrez, who won the Premier League at Leicester and again, his record is ridiculous in terms of goals and assists. They've got options there. They can mix it up a bit. And we've just left ourselves in a situation now where we haven't. Mm. And it's like now a new manager's got to come in and he's got to not only rebuild the first 11, but a squad as well.
When's the last time City or Liverpool, or even Chelsea? Well, actually, let's take Chelsea out because they haven't won much recently in the league. When's the last time City or Liverpool signed a player of the age or wages of Cavani or Ronaldo? Or even Ighalo? Mm. I can't even think of it.
No.
Right. I think when's the last time they made a signing like that?
Negredo or someone like that?
What was that, a decade ago?
Yeah, like Negredo was like 2013.
They don't make signings like that.
No, they don't. And it's like,
the closest they've got was getting Thiago on a free. Mm. That could have been one of them. You've signed a big player who is, I know he was not, I think was it 29 or 30, not 35. But you could have maybe said that was a bit of a big name signing. But Liverpool, but even then, it's not the same, is it?
You know, players like Wijnaldum, Origi, even Salah, they weren't like world-class players before they signed them. They just
It's a plan, isn't it? It's a plan. Salah fits into this system. Mm. He will thrive in this system. Okay, I don't think anyone predicted he was going to score like basically 50 goals a season, but he'll be a success in the system. When they went for Van Dijk, they went for him, didn't get him. They didn't sack it off and go and spend 60 million on someone else. They waited. Like, okay, he's what we want. He's the man we want. We'll wait another transfer window. And then they get him and then they go and win everything. So I just feel like they've got a plan there. And it's like with just simple things that we just can't seem to do. You know, like even when we have options and when you think, oh yeah, we've been linked with this player, we've been linked with that player, for whatever reason, it just doesn't happen. You know, the one that everyone goes on about, and I think you were talking about this with Dejo, was Cancelo. And I think, okay, he comes into this team and he might not do what he's doing at City because the team's struggling. But that's someone being recommended to us and we don't take it up on it. And
probably Otamendi, I'd say, was the last City player that they signed for a lot of money. And Mangala as well. A couple of players like that just before Guardiola came in.
But even then, they weren't big name signings. We have to get him because of the name. No one, you know, they were a lot of money, but they weren't like Ronaldo's.
And they gave, you know, the same Claudio Bravo's probably one that they bought and then replaced.
Yeah.
But then again, you know, they do that. Like, Pep comes in, he has a first season where he don't win anything, they don't really do a lot. Mm. Finishes in the Champions League places, everyone's a bit underwhelming. But he's had a good season to look at his team and go, right, these are the players I need. And they back him. And he'd get in, I need a new fullbacks. Right, no worries, we'll get it. I need a new keeper. Actually, I need to replace the keeper I've bought. Mm. No worries. Do you know what I mean? We need this midfielder. I need this guy. Not a drama. I want to buy Laporte. We can't get him now. Wait, yeah, get him for you. No worries. Mm. It's like there's a plan there, and I just don't see it at United. And
so
I hate
desperation.
Yeah, talking about the Scousers and City as examples of what's going right. Abhinav Verma says, this Andy guy is a spy. Hire Paul Mitchell. Sorry, I've got another few chats to get into. Callum Shahidi says, Poch can't change mentality of United. Look at Spurs, weak-minded and then still weak-minded now. Jose Conte couldn't. They are serial winners, unlike Poch. So he's just saying, you know, he's not a Poch fan, to be honest with you. Frank Lucas says, if Ron was scoring for City, you would be different.
But he isn't.
I know. Yeah,
that's saying if we'd just won the league, I wouldn't have been saying this. Of course, I wouldn't. Akshay
S says, along with a new manager and team rebuild, would change of captaincy change the mood of the dressing room? Also, if not Maguire, then who? Bruno.
It might change it by a few percent.
I think we've got into this thing of.
But it's not that big
of
a
like
deal.
Making the captaincy outline. That's going to change loads.
Yeah.
Like if Bruno or Maguire are wearing the armband, or if it's Varane, or if it's De Gea.
Yeah, but it depends. If United sign someone who's a really good leader.
That's different. That's different than just giving it to someone we've already got.
Out of United's current squad, there's no one in there that's really good.
I don't think if Maguire gives it to Bruno, that makes much of a difference. Mm. Or if Bruno gives it to Varane, I don't think it does. Do you know what I mean? It's like, you're right. If we can, one sign, it can change the complexion of everything. Mm. I'm not saying it will, but, you know, Bruno took us from nowhere near top four to getting top four and then, you know, finishing second. He was such a catalyst.
Are you not bored, though, of United just qualifying for the top four?
Of course
then,
I am.
You know, getting into, like, the Champions League and then going out in the group stages or the knockout stages. And it's just like, I don't get any enjoyment out of this as a fan. Of just it's just shit.
Like, I mean, I'm, you know, old enough to remember the dark days when we went 5 years without a trophy. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? I was like a kid. But, and now it's like, what are we on for now? Six, is it?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it was almost unheard
of. If we don't win the league.
All we need are severe points deductions for the teams above us.
It's happened before.
Yeah. So we need City and Liverpool to have a big scrap in the middle of the pitch at the Etihad when they play each other.
This weekend,
30
right,
points each. Was your, and then Chelsea to do the same.
Did you enjoy your weekend not being ruined by United?
Do you know what? I did slightly, but it was tempered somewhat by the fact that Liverpool won, City won, Arsenal won,
Tottenham won.
Fucking and it was just like, and then I'm watching. When I saw City and Liverpool being drawn in the FA Cup semi-final, it reminded me a little bit of 99 with us in Arsenal. Mm. Because it's like that thing of the two top teams sort of going in.
Yeah, but it'll never be as good.
No, it won't.
No.
But it reminded me of it. And I thought, that's what they're at now. They're sort of pushing each other and going up against each other. And what are we doing? We're up against, you know, trying to chase Arsenal for fourth. And it's just not where you want to be as a fan. And it is frustrating. But, you know, you've got to sort of hold your hands up and say, this is where we are. Caleb Dirtle says, just imagine if the 1.2 billion the Glazers took out was put back into OT and Carrington, might have solved some of the issues they are facing today. Maybe, I mean, you know, there's so many different sort of things. I just want to talk about it quickly before we move on to Ollie of the Week. Gary Neville's made a comment about players going out. And he said that he did a tweet earlier, and I can't find it, but he basically said that if, you know, back in the day, if United drew, you wouldn't even have players and executives
going. Take some of your water?
No. He said back in the day, you know, if United drew, they wouldn't even go out for an Italian. You wouldn't have execs and players and the manager or whatever, coaches going out, sort of being pictured. And this weekend, we've seen people at the cricket, people at the F1, people abroad, you know, Dubai, whatever. And he said it's tone deaf, I think he labelled it. I just wanted to get your thoughts on it, and people in the comments as well. Let me know what you think about what Gary Neville said. Does it bother you? Are you outraged? Are you disappointed? Are you any of the above when it comes to players and manager? And because Ralph was at the cricket, wasn't he? A few people were at the F1, I think. The owners were. If anyone cares what they're up to, they don't obviously care about the club.
I like your tweet, by the way, about them buying the...
trying to buy the kebab on tick or on loan, to sell back to him or whatever. I'll start with you, James. What do you make of it? Do you care?
Not really, no, because I'm not really sure what else... I mean, it doesn't look good, but then at the same time, like, what else would they have been doing this weekend that would have improved their performance on the pitch? United aren't playing. So there's no point in them just sitting around going, well, look how shit we are. Mm. But then at the same time, if I was in that position, I probably wouldn't share it on social media. But then I don't really see an issue with it personally.
Joe, do you agree with James? I'll get to my comment in a minute.
I don't know. I don't really know what any of it means. Like, does someone going to the football make them less careless or less likely to win the next match? Or I don't know. But there is part of me that thinks, yeah, I understand that maybe if these players were hurt more when they lost, they'd be less likely to be at these events a short time after losing big games. They might still be distraught. Oh, I can't be asked to go. I feel like shit, whatever. And maybe that would be a good thing. But I don't see how someone going out for a drink, or maybe not going for a drink, that's a slightly old-fashioned way of looking at things now, but going to the cricket or going
really
to watch
think,
the UFC.
United squad is full of pint drinkers.
No, probably not.
No.
Although I'm sure there's probably more than we think. But going
Harry
to the
Maguire,
UFC
yeah, he's,
or going
he's,
to
he's
the cricket, I don't know how that in itself does anything. And if we see it on social media, then that's just a separate world anyway. They're not playing football on social media. I don't care about all that. It's all managed by teams and companies and agents and all that. I don't really care about social media, what footballers say on there. It's just irrelevant to me. So the fact that someone's just gone out for a night with their mates, well, how long are we meant to be sad for? The shit. They know the shit.
Where do you think United would go out in town? If all the United players were together, where do you think they'd choose?
It depends who's leading the way. It'd probably just be somewhere like dead posh, wouldn't it?
I mean, I've
China
not been
White
out.
Or something.
Yeah, is it Australasia? Or is that still a thing?
That's still open. That's still a thing.
Yeah. Oh, with the Ivy, is that where they all go?
Yeah.
The Ivy.
Or
the
boring though, isn't it?
20 stories.
Get some bit of personality. Get yourself down Peveril of the Peak.
See, I don't know where
it's open. It's been that. Get yourself in the pier hat and get served by a man.
Alex Bagley off camera saying,
"Looks
don't.
Like no creature I've ever seen in my life." It's one of the best bars in Manchester.
Have you been to Gulliver's?
Of course. Yeah. Get yourself down Gulliver's.
Oh, actually, I was in the Grey Horse the other week, right?
And there you go, get to the Grey Horse.
Chris was amazing, genuinely.
I love Chris, by the way, the Grey Horse. Big shout out to him, top guy.
Have you met Howard before?
Of course I have.
Amazing. He was in there, like, it's like a local celebrity, really. They've got a big cardboard cut out of him now.
Have you got the Grey? Have you been to the Grey Horse?
Yeah, I've been in the past.
It's, well, I love Chris, and Howard is hilarious.
I don't know everyone there.
Yeah, like, no. It's like a little pub that you can go in. Or where is it? It's not on
Portland Street.
Portland Street.
Right next to. Is it the Old Monkey?
Yeah. But this sort of argument bores me a little
bit. What do you think? Yeah.
I don't get that annoyed when I see these players at the F1 or the manager at the cricket or they're abroad or whatever. And I think you can't have it both ways. There you go. There's the quote from Gary Neville. Thank you, production team. So you can see that. He's saying, I remember a time when United players, managers, executives wouldn't be seen in their local Italian after a draw at home, let alone getting knocked out of Europe. The last week, we've seen a global tour of F1, concerts, cricket and UFC events. This lot are tone deaf. For starters, I think, is that true? I remember I've seen players out and about in town after all sorts of results before. So I don't know if that's true.
Not to try and quote Gary Lineker because I'm not a particular fan of his. But you mentioned about players in the past would have just gone to the pub instead and been, spoken to by journalists and paparazzi and all that stuff.
United had a pretty big drinking culture that was well known when they weren't winning stuff. Especially, players like Brian Robson could handle it. But of course, people used to go out all the time. And even. Brian Clough used to tell his players to drink the night before. So, he's their nurse for a big match. So
it doesn't outrage me in the way that it does some. And I know Gary Neville, he's posted this. He's had almost 30,000 likes, 2,500 retweets almost, 2,000 quote tweets. A lot of people agreeing with him. A lot of people in the replies agreeing with it. There's a lot of anger. There's a picture of Marcus Rashford, Brandon Williams at some MTK global event. I get annoyed with the performance of the pitch, but I don't expect the players to be sobbing, walking down the street sobbing hysterically, or to be sat under the bed crying or watching videos of the game. I don't mind them having a life and doing things.
People
it doesn't
forget,
bother
like,
me. It
it's,
just
the,
doesn't.
It's their job. Do you know what I mean? If you didn't have a good day at work, right, and you went into town afterwards, you wouldn't have someone come up to you going, "Oh, you've not done very well today. Why are you here?"
Yeah, and also with football, you can't just run more to get back in form. It's not like, I'm not going to go out tonight, I'm just going to sprint for 3 hours instead. Like, they've got such, finely tuned regimes that they're following.
Yeah.
As long as they're still doing that and there's not, affecting sleep or affecting concentration, whatever, fine. But I just think you can't say, I'm not going to UFC tonight, I'm just going to lift loads of weights all night.
That treadmill won't turn on itself.
Yeah, exactly.
Alex Hughes doesn't agree. He says, Jesus Christ, what happened to our fan base? How about they start working their ass off on the training pitch? How much are they getting paid again? So
but
there
that,
is.
That's a different point, though, isn't it? Yeah. I think when they're on the training pitch, work your ass off. You're being paid a fuckload of money, you should try as hard as you can. Yeah. But that doesn't mean never do anything other than train. You can overtrain. You can, you know, wallow in the pain so much
Rooney
that,
did that
you ruin your mental health. Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, I get annoyed with some of the performances, but I don't think the two are connected. I don't think they're performing badly on the pitch because when they've had time off, they've gone and watched the cricket.
Yeah, if that UFC fight was during a training session and they've not turned up, fair enough. You know, that's awful.
But I understand all
when
that.
When they're not at work.
Would you then post that on your social media? I know it's not you doing it personally, but...
No, I wouldn't.
Yeah.
If that was me, I'd live a life, but I wouldn't be posing all over social media if United were this shit. I'd take a bit of a backseat.
I think the social media for United has become a massive issue. Mm. I think people are just getting the back up because of what they're seeing on socials. And I think there's a few players who can probably have a word with the team because it's not them sat there posting, is it? And just say, listen...
Well,
Neville
said it before. Players should probably run their own Twitter accounts.
I think they would. You know what? You can judge the mood and you know what's going on. David Jones says, do you think the Chelsea cash being flashed by so many different billionaires might make the Glazers seriously consider selling? Yeah, the Chelsea have apparently got about 30 potential buyers.
There's just going to be another billionaire, isn't it, that buys them?
And the reason they've got so many buyers is because it's not like they haven't really got anything to fight against. Mm. They have to sell the club, like as it stands currently anyway. You know, Abramovich has to sell it. So it's a lot easier of a purchase than it is if you're negotiating.
I don't really understand Chelsea fans getting like upset about it either, because it's like, well, you accepted him to become your owner with everything that came with it, so you can't.
Oh, they've had untold riches. They've seen things that they never thought they'd see. I remember Chelsea before he took over there, and they were, you know, they were kicking around in like quarterfinals, winning the trophy, absolutely buzzing to win the League Cup or whatever.
Did qualify for the Champions League though?
Yeah, before, no, they did, but it's not like they were, you know, back to back titles and winning two Champions Leagues and record amount of points and buying the likes of Claude Makélélé and over until he came in. So I think, like, you know, yes, they had relative sorts of, it's like City, you know, what, eighth or whatever. They were nowhere near until the new owners came in. So I think
the auto glass era.
And they're also always kind of on borrowed time, weren't they? Like there seems to me a feeling with all of these owners that have got anywhere between questionable and terrible human rights records, that at some point that might catch you out. It's like, you know, doing base jumping every weekend. Occasionally the parachute doesn't open. And I think Chelsea fans have had 15 years of this now where they've basically gotten away with it. They've changed how football is run in England, and eventually it's caught up to them like it was always going to. You can't be upset or surprised. This is what happens when you get in bed with the people
It's happened with smaller clubs though before, but I think because it's Chelsea, they won't be allowed to sort of unravel in the same way that clubs like Malaga, for example, who got to the quarterfinals of the Champions League with an owner who was very dodgy, shall we say, and like they're now in administration, languishing in Segunda because the money was very questionable as to where it came from.
Was that the team with Isco in it that did?
Yeah,
really well?
So like they were lower than Chelsea. They were like basically a yo-yo side, and then this Qatari owner came in. Bought Van Nistelrooy, Isco, Caballero, had Pellegrini's manager, just spent loads and loads of money. Actually should have got to the semi-finals of the Champions League, had an offside goal that was ruled out, but players went literally within like a season of qualifying for the Champions League, they were literally in the Champions League and their own players were going like unpaid. And then like they all left, and then they just about survived for a few years and then went down, I think, 2018. But yeah, they're in
but
a,
that
a
won't
mess.
Happen to Chelsea because their revenue is so high.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
They'll be able to carry
There's a few quotes. I'm just going to whiz through these. He's got a few quotes and get to Wally of the Week. There's a few quotes that have dropped from, I think this is from Melissa Reddy, who's gone over. She wasn't the indie, wasn't she?
Aren't you blocked by her?
No, that's you're thinking of Sam Quirk, who blocked me because she wrote what I can only describe as a completely out of order article on Paul Pogba, which was full of just absolute nonsense. And when I literally screenshotted it and said that, like, where you're getting this from is not true. He's not the laziest player in the league. Mm. And that sort of language is just not helpful. She blocked me. Which is no great loss. So Matt pointed out some spelling mistakes in the article as well, and some grammatical errors.
That's what people like to hear, isn't it? Not only is what you've said shit,
I did say this is much better than usual articles because there's only 5 spelling mistakes in it. That's a compliment. If you don't want to take that as a compliment, that's your problem, not mine.
Someone's not getting invited onto a question of sport.
Thank God. Anyway, she's talked in here first. Sky, she's not on Sky now. She said, United have still not internally outlined the nature of Ragnick's consultancy role, but it is not envisioned to be very hands-on. No meetings have taken place as yet with Ragnick regarding the design of his future position. And there's the notion that Rangnick could operate as a loose version of a sporting director at United has been labelled hugely unlikely. And then it's also got, she goes on to say, sources have intimated Rangnick's role at United, in all probability, will be centred around sharing insights on innovation, scouting and linking United with bright football minds rather than fundamentally altering the setup.
Bright football minds! So,
I mean, you know.
Remember that time Bright Football Minds was the top scorer in the fucking Premier League?
It's proper blue sky thinking, isn't it? Yeah. It's like Tony Blair. Yeah. This is blue sky thinking that you like, which you've never seen before. Yeah. And it's this kind of innovation which will take us to the next level. Yeah. What?
Building for a better future.
Yeah.
Exactly. Ralph Rangnick.
Yeah. It's just nonsense. It's word salad.
It's like saying, oh, I'll definitely stay friends with my ex. It's like, it's not going to happen. We'll be all right. We'll stay all right. Ralph, don't worry. When you've left, we'll still chat. We'll still be mates. We'll go out for dinner. Mm. It's not going to happen, is it?
It's got Liam Fraser joined us in the studio.
We're going to get on to Wally the other week. We put the question into the chat before. Yeah. Have you two finished?
No, actually.
We're discussing indie landfill bands again.
I hate that you call it indie landfill. Okay. It's a disrespectful term. Call it indie bliss.
Indie blandfill.
Don't call it blandfill. Yeah. Phil, you're bland. Got it wrong. Wow. Yeah. I went for it and I got it wrong.
Promises.
Are you in a landfill?
On Telegram earlier, on our members chat, we asked for your Wally's of the Week to send him in. Liam McManaman, that's an unfortunate surname, says, Jermaine Jenas for saying he played against Emerson at Borough in the 2000s, except Emerson left in 98. Well said there. Caleb Dietz says, got to be PSG as a whole. That squad was embarrassed by Monaco after being recently knocked out of the Champions League, which way they were favourites to win.
The thing is, though, they're still, I think, 13 points clear in the league, aren't they? So they're basically, they've giving up as much as they can while still winning the league. Yeah. They're all on so
like,
much.
You know, on like career mode on FIFA where you just sim matches because you can't be bothered
they
to
play. They are simming matches on Football Manager, Potch, go on holiday. He's gone on holiday. I'll come back in the season. I'll probably still win it by about 3 points.
Tom says Lampard for taking lessons off Jose for throwing his players under the bus.
You love Lampard, don't you, Jay?
I love him.
Think he's a top manager as well, don't you?
I think he's a comedy genius.
Gone.
Like no, the thing that he does where he's laughing and then he goes that serious.
Yeah,
like that is.
He must know he's doing that.
He does it every interview. It's amazing. I love the old core blimey governor attitude that he's got. I love him. Keep him there forever. Gary said Arteta for crying about game congestion despite playing one game a week. Yeah,
what is it? 11 games in the last 10 weeks and he's whinging.
Mm. Thanks for everyone who sent in those World of the Week. Good suggestions. Like,
do you remember when United played 2 games in 2 days?
Yeah, it was in 2000. Well, in 91, 92, wasn't it? When we lost the league, we played something like 5 games in 10 days or something. It was stupid.
It's fun, wasn't it? It's great as
that
a fan.
That cost us the league. Yeah. Go on, then, who's your Wally of the Week?
I don't know, Jay. So why have you asked me that?
Thank
it's
you.
It's very hard.
It's almost like you didn't have 5 minutes then to discuss it instead of talking about landfill.
No, here's the thing, Jay. I've been thinking about it for 2 hours, who my Wally of the Week is. And I can't... Do you know who it is, actually? It's just Man United generally. Because, like you said earlier, James, I've enjoyed the last weekend of us not playing more than pretty much any weekend in living memory.
Yeah.
It's better to not watch us than it is to watch us at the moment. That's just a shit situation to be in for what is... such a successful and brilliant club. At the minute, international break is my favourite time of the year. I used to hate it. So Man United are my Wally of the Week. Wally of the decade.
I can't really argue with that. James, who are you going to go for?
Probably
who's your Wally of the Week?
The cyclist earlier that didn't stop at the traffic lights and nearly hit someone's car.
Nearly?
Yeah, nearly.
What a dickhead.
Man. And then got off his bike. So, have you ever ridden a bloody bicycle before? Oh.
It's like, well, he said that about it?
Yeah.
When he got knocked off his bike? Was he talking to himself?
No, he nearly hit someone's car, slammed the brakes on, got off his bike and went, and the other guy got out of his car and he went, "Have you never ridden a bloody bicycle before in your life? Do you know how hard it is to stop?" It's like, well...
Interesting.
Flipping cyclist.
Do you like? Can you ride a bike?
Yeah, I've ridden several.
Have you?
Yeah.
I can't imagine you riding a bike. Can you ride one?
Yeah, of course I can. I've taught my kids how to ride a bike. Of course I can ride a bike.
But what annoys me is, and I saw this on the weekend...
Jay, how many wheels has the bike got?
Several.
Yeah, all right.
If you go to the circus, they've got one.
What us? Their bikes.
Yeah, their bikes.
It's just a. It's not a bike though, is it? It's a unicycle.
Unicycle.
Yeah, you've got like one there, and then the two at the side.
No, that's a go kart.
Yeah.
Jay does not a bike. Jay thinks it's a car.
What do you mean people that
don't use the cycle lanes properly? Because on the weekend, I was walking down. You know how narrow.
No one loves local admin more than James. Hey. This is for the council meeting you're going to after the podcast.
We're 2 steps away from talking about the pedestrianisation of Norwich Centre.
The cycle lanes in the city centre.
You know, it's just completely out of order.
Yeah. I bet you've got an opinion on the clean air zone.
Yeah,
we're going to share on a special four-hour edition of the podcast.
My clean
when I'm not in.
Come on, who's your one of the week?
I'm going to go, I don't want to get political, but
you do this every week.
I'm going to go with Sajid Javid, who went on telly this morning doing the media rounds and then said that Boris Johnson didn't say the thing we've all seen that he did say about Ukraine and Brexit. And I just think they just lie constantly and then they say that thing he said he didn't say. And then he said every normal person can see he didn't say it. What, so everyone's abnormal for watching what they've seen. Mm. It's just ridiculous. It just does me in. I'm just deflated with
and
them all.
And yet you'll still vote for him next time, won't you, Jack? His track record speaks for itself.
Well, until you give me a better option.
They're all just as bad as each other.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Less of two evils. Yeah. Joe, where can people find you?
JoeSmith93. On Instagram and Twitter, or in Rome for the next 4 days, if anyone's interested.
And he will be documenting that on his Instagram.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he will be sending us some pictures for our Instagram as well.
Don't annoy him, because he is on holiday. So.
No, he's not. There's no holiday on here. Yeah. All right. Do you know what I mean? Go on.
Yeah, I'm on Twitter, at James Young TV. And
have you not got a magazine to plug?
Well, no, because that mag is no longer on sale, and because United aren't playing this weekend, I didn't bring it because you can't buy it anymore. So next edition.
Excuses. Never happened in my day. In my day, I used to go on YouTube every week when I saw United stand, even though it didn't exist.
Where can people find you, Jay?
The internet wasn't even a thing. People can find me, Jay Motti, you know where. I'm back on Twitter now after my hiatus for copyright breaches.
Someone is going to burn for that, aren't they? Who is it, Jay?
Your cronies at Twitter.
Yeah. Jay rallied the troops, didn't he?
I didn't actually.
Excuse me, guys. I've been taken off of Twitter. The thing you said would never happen. Like Julius Caesar, weren't you?
Yeah. Ask yourself.
Betrayed.
Do you want Twitter without me on it?
Even Donald
That's
Trump.
The question. And quite a lot of people said they did. So this has been the Pilot Podcast. Thanks to James Young. Thanks to Joe. Thanks to everyone who got involved in the comments. Thanks to everyone as well who sent in their questions for their suggestions, sorry, for Wally of the Week. We will try and reach out to you guys more often as well. Thanks for watching. Sports Social Podcast Network.